2FM.
Paul, we got the Aviva the other night for Ireland's great 3-1 win in the friendly, no?
No, I was at the previous one, but I wasn't the friendly, no. Right. Don't do friendlies, Dave.
Don't do friendlies. Yeah, friendlies are like, the friendlies should be free in, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
Because it's basically just the manager trying to...
They were not bad, though.
It's like a kind of a training exercise in some ways. Still 3-1, fantastic.
Yeah.
One of those goals was so good towards the end.
It was good, no, they were not bad, I have to say, yeah.
Anyway, where was I? We're not talking football, we're talking movies with Paul Whittington from the Indo Gophers.
Downton Abbey.
Oh, Downton Abbey.
Dave, you watched rather a lot of television. Did you ever watch Downton?
To be honest, I think I did. I watched about 4 or 5 of the series near the beginning. I mean, of the first series near the beginning. And I think it's brilliant at what it does. And maybe I was going on to something else at the time, like Breaking Bad or something. I don't know. So I don't really know it, no.
Yeah.
I like those period costume drama thingy-bobs, though.
Yeah, I think very well done. I mean, obviously, you know, it's Julian Fellowes who wrote it, ran for 6 seasons between 2011, I think, and 2016. And had a very, very sunny view of the British class structure in the 1910s and 20s, you know, in terms of the fact that, you know, everybody was delighted to know their place and the servants are pathetically grateful when some tough, you know, gives them word of praise while passing by.
If you
if you swallow all that, it was kind of amusing. This film, it's actually very well orchestrated. Somebody, I've seen somebody the other day reviewing it, they're saying that nothing happens in it, but little things happen. And in a way, he's had to juggle all these characters that people know to make sure that they're all present. And it's a very pleasant, whatever it is, hour and 40 minutes in the cinema.
Yeah.
It's nice. Basically, it's 1927, so it is, and they're all they get a letter informing them that King George and Queen Mary have been forced by duty to travel to Yorkshire, which I'm sure they're not very happy about, and, and that they will stop in with them for a night on the way. Now this gets everybody very excited.
Wow.
You can imagine.
Yeah.
Mrs. Padmore nearly explodes in the kitchen, but then they find out that the royals travel with this group of flunkies of their own who work with them, so they're going to be usurped. They don't like that one little bit.
All
so
right.
It's all about the royal visit and Lady Mary.
Flunkies will do
it.
The job that the people in this movie normally do.
And this, I think David Haig plays.
We should make a movie about Pence going to Doon Beg.
If we should, this David Haig plays this fantastically pompous. He's a sort of royal butler, but he calls himself the master of the backstairs, which he doesn't realise sounds a bit odd. But he's very pompous, and you're supposed to hate him when you do. And meanwhile, Lady Mary is trying to organise the thing, and Alan Leach's character, Tom, who's still in it, he's still knocking around. He was married to the youngest one, if you may remember. She died tragically. But he is an Irish Republican of sorts, and he has to kind of swallow his, you know, whatever, and behave himself when the royals are there. So it's all that type of thing. Maggie Smith, no one will be surprised to hear, you know, steals the show as she does. She Fellows writes these lovely jokes for her, and she knows exactly what to do with them. As I say, it is morally suspect, to put it mildly, in terms of what a sunny view it has of what life was really like then. And also some people are saying that it's, you know, kind of a Brexiteer's sort of fantasy. But having said all that, that isn't anybody's fault. Julian Fellowes has always tried to bring in more serious themes, and in this he examines you know, what life was like for gay men in the 1920s, which is a very interesting kind of segment of it. So it's very well put together. I mean, I would say that if you haven't seen the series, you're going to be a bit bewildered, because some of my colleagues who are not unintelligent seem to be very confused as to who everybody was.
Sorry, did the series end? Was there a beginning, a middle, and an end?
It was. There was a Christmas special, I think, in 2016, I think. And
what year might that have been then? By 1925 or so? And this is 2 years later, kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So, and obviously, there is absolutely no reason why there might not be another Downton movie, depending on how this does, but it's very well made.
Well, I'd say this will do very well. This does. Do you know what the Downton series does very well?
America,
in the southern states of America.
Massively.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
well, that's the way they want the world to be
so
as well.
Do you think this is, in some ways, it could be the start of a franchise? Could be.
It's hard to say. There's been a lot of... Julian Fellowes has not been enthusiastic when asked about that, but I see no reason why not, because it's very well made.
Yeah.
I like a big house film, I have to say, myself.
So
like, they're fun, you know.
Yeah.
My favourite film of all is a big house film, the Rules of the Game, the Jean Renoir film. This is not that kind of film, but it's very enjoyable.
Do you have a place like that? Like, do you ring a bell when you need your kind of...
No, Dave, a bell is rung. and oh, I come running.
Oh, right, indeed. Hadn't thought of it that way. Okay. You upped me there. Okay, so Downton Abbey, there was a review in the Mail yesterday which I thought was pretty spot on. It said, like the TV show, only bigger.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, it's like a very high production values Christmas special, and yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Fantastic. Yeah. For everybody, they'll be flocking to it. Okay, that's Downton Abbey, thumbs up. Yeah, why not? Go for it.
Extraordinary, which you were talking about earlier on.
We were.
With Barry,
to the lead actor, yeah.
And it is it's a feature debut for Enda Lachman and Mike Ahern. I think it shows an awful lot of promise. And it has the good sense to lean on the comic talents of Maeve Higgins, who's very good in it. And she plays this, she's Rose. She's a rural driving instructor, and she lives on her own. And she's haunted by the tragic death of her father, who was a, Richard Cooper plays him in sort of flashbacks. He was this spiritual investigator in what looks like the 80s. And he died in circumstances I won't go into. And she hasn't touched a ghost ever since, until Barry Ward's character turns up, and he's being bullied by his wife. Except she died a couple of years ago. So can Rose help? And that opens up a whole sort of can of worms. I think the first hour is very good. I think the weak point is part of the climax, which is some of it works, some of it doesn't. But also this character, played by Will Fort, who is a musician who had annoying La 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 songs and lived in a castle and may or may not be based on Guess Who. that doesn't work at all. He just looks like he's in the wrong film, and it's not his fault, because he's a very good comic actor, but he's not an Irish comic actor, and this is a very Irish film. Maybe that's the problem.
And the two leads are great. Maeve Higgins has this amazing way of saying something, maybe something she probably shouldn't have said, misheard or misrepresented the situation, and then has to pull back with something else she says.
Well,
it's very well done.
The amazing trick is that the character she plays always look like they have very bad social timing, but within that, her comic timing is brilliant.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, on that level. Okay, so it's called Extraordinary.
Yeah.
Okay, that's that one. That's an Irish movie. Give us the next one.
Hustlers.
We're talking J-Lo there to Paul Huntley and his wigs.
I didn't know she wore wigs, I suppose.
Well, they're talking big time about her getting an Oscar for this one as Ramona. What do you think now?
Ramona. Well, I tell you what, she is 50
actress.
Years old, and she looks extraordinary for 50 years old, and she's not afraid to show it off. She does a pole dance quite early on, and it's all done by her, and she's... She's very good in this. I mean, I think this film is getting rather overpraised, and I think it is, again, I think it's morally problematic. But anyway, it's based on a true story, and set Constance Wu, who you might remember from Crazy Rich Asians, if you saw that film.
I saw Crazy Rich Asians.
She's very
good
in this.
Which one was she in that?
She was the lead, the one who's getting married, who meets the awful family in
Singapore. Oh, right, yeah.
In this, she's a stripper, basically, and lap dancer, and it's 2007, and the Wall Street's going bananas, and the traders are even more obnoxious than usual, and they come into the strip club where she works, and they behave appallingly, and then the bottom goes out of the market, and she's taken under the wing of Jennifer Lopez's character, who's this kind of almost a sort of mammy-ish kind of older stripper, and they start working together to make money, and then when the market crashes, they come up with a scam whereby they get these Wall Street guys to go out, and they basically spike their drink and max out their credit cards. And that works well for a while. The beginning, the beautiful opening sequence, which is a bit like, you know, the restaurant sequence in Goodfellas, where you just get swept through the place. It's very strong. Jennifer Lopez is very good, so is Constance Wu. But it looks too much like a music video at times, and also it tries very, very hard to turn this caper that they have into this sort of Robin Hood laugh about. But last time I checked, two wrongs don't make a right. A lot of the reviews this summer are saying that it's empowering. I don't really think that spiking people's drinks and maxing out their credit cards is very empowering. So I would have a problem with that. But there's a lot of good stuff in it. I just think it's being slightly overpraised.
All right. That's Hustlers at the moment with Jennifer Lopez and Constance Wu.
Yeah.
And one more?
Yeah, one more of a very different variety. Indeed, which is For Sama. There have been quite a lot of...
For Sama.
There have been quite a few very strong documentaries about the Syrian conflict, which everybody... Like, the world's gaze has turned away from it, really. It's just because it's gone on too long and everybody's got bored with it. But the misery is still unfolding. And this... it began... as a piece of kind of a video diary, a piece of what they call citizen journalism now, and Waid Al-Khabib, she joined the protests, the anti-Sadat protests in 2011 in Aleppo, and it follows her from there as, you know, the Russians, at Assad's bequest begin flattening the historic city of Aleppo, and she lives through all this. She has a child. It's an incredible sequence where she gives birth to Sama, her little girl, who the film is named for, and it looks for one moment as though the child is not going to survive. And it's a very disturbing kind of moment in the film. We do see moments where, you know, children actually die, and some people have been uncomfortable about that. But then that's what this is all about, you know. I mean, and it's a very powerful documentary, and just began, you know, as something you're doing on your phone, and actually I think she was helped pull it together afterwards, but it's very powerful stuff.
Okay, that's For Sama. That's F-O-R-S-A-M-A. For yeah. Sama. Hustlers is the other one with Jennifer Lopez. Yeah. Extraordinary is the Irish movie with Maeve Higgins, and Downton Abbey before that as well. Yeah. What else? Are you watching any box sets or any of that kind of thing? There's only one at the moment. You've got to watch Succession.
Fantastic. Yeah, you love that. I saw the first.
Do you know
what?
You mentioned opening animation, or at least the opening shot in that movie there. Do you know the way a really powerful opening, you know, like Game of Thrones is probably the best example of just all the stuff that goes, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
But the opening animation for Succession, I just keep singing the tune first of all on this piano thing, but it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Pretending to have old film of like a very rich family from years ago.
And is this season as good as the
there's 15 programs now. Gotta watch it.
Shakespearean, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And there isn't one likeable character in the whole thing, not one.
Oh, that sounds great. Well,
actually, the main guy I kind of like the guy who's really messed up towards the end of season one. I think he's great. Anyway, listen, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks
for dropping in. What time is it? Well, I'll play a song. So get out. Thanks very much, Paul.
Dave Fanning on 2FM.